or any other signs of infection, be sure to tell your practitioner. Elevated blood pressure.
My blood pressure was up a little at my last visit. Should I be worried?
Relax. Worrying about your blood pressure will only send the readings higher. Besides, a slight increase at one visit is probably nothing to worry about at all and might have just been a temporary blip. Maybe you were stressed because you were caught in traffic on the way to your appointment or because you were having a bad day at work. Maybe you were just nervous. You were afraid you'd gain too much weight or not enough, or you had some strange symptoms to report, or you were eager to hear the baby's heartbeat. Or maybe just being in a medical office set you on edge, elevating your blood pressure in what's commonly dubbed white coat hypertension. To make sure anxiety doesn't do a number on those numbers again, do some relaxation exercises and some deep breathing while you're waiting for your next appointment, and especially while your blood pressure's being taken. Think happy baby thoughts. Even if your blood pressure remains slightly elevated at your next reading, such transient high blood pressure, which about 1 to 2% of women develop during pregnancy, is perfectly harmless and disappears after delivery, so you can still relax. Most expectant mothers will see a slight drop in blood pressure readings during the second trimester as blood volume increases and the body starts working long hours to get that baby-making factory up to speed. But when you hit the third trimester, it usually begins to rise a bit. If it rises too much, if systolic pressure, the upper number, is 140 or more, or the diastolic pressure, the lower number, is over 90, and stays up for at least two readings, your practitioner will monitor you more closely. That's because elevated readings in pregnancy sometimes increase cardiovascular risk later in life. But more relevant now, if it's also accompanied by protein in the urine, excessive swelling of the hands, ankles, and face, and/or severe headaches, it may turn out to be preeclampsia. Sugar in the urine.
At my last office visit, the doctor said there was sugar in my urine, but that it wasn't anything to worry about. Isn't it a sign of diabetes?
Take your doctor's advice. Don't stress. Your body is probably doing just what it's supposed to do, making sure that fetus of yours, which depends on you for its fuel supply, is getting enough glucose, sugar. The hormone insulin regulates the level of glucose in your blood and ensures that enough is taken in by your body cells for nourishment. Pregnancy triggers anti-insulin mechanisms to make sure enough sugar remains circulating in your bloodstream to nourish your fetus. It's a perfect idea that doesn't always work perfectly. Sometimes the anti-insulin effect is so strong that it leaves more than enough sugar in the blood to meet the needs of both mom and baby, more than can be handled by the kidneys. The excess is spilled into the urine. So sugar in the urine is not uncommon in pregnancy, especially in the second trimester when the anti-insulin effect increases. In fact, roughly half of all pregnant women show some sugar in the urine at some point in their pregnancies. In most women, the body responds to an increase in blood sugar with an increased production of insulin, which usually eliminates the excess sugar by the next office visit. This may well be the case with you, but some moms-to-be, especially those who are diabetic or have tendencies towards diabetes because of a family history or because of their age or weight, may be unable to produce enough insulin at one time to handle the increase in blood sugar, or they may be unable to use the insulin they do produce efficiently. If that's the case with you, you'll continue to show high levels of sugar in both blood and urine as your pregnancy progresses. If you weren't previously diabetic, this means you have developed gestational diabetes. You, like every pregnant woman, will be given a glucose screening test around the 28th week to check for gestational diabetes. Those at higher risk, such as obese women, may be screened earlier. Until then, don't give the sugar in your urine another thought.
For dads, it's your hormones, really. Think just because you're a guy, you're immune to the hormonal swings of pregnancy? Not so much. Research has revealed that expectant and new dads experience a drop in the famously male sex hormone testosterone and a surge in the famously female sex hormone, estrogen. And these hormonal fluctuations, which are actually common across the animal kingdom, aren't random or a sign of Mother Nature's twisted sense of humor. It's speculated that they're designed to turn up the tenderness in males, to bring out a soon-to-be dad's nurturing side, and bring out the parent in him. Which doesn't only help prepare you for the diaper changing ahead, but helps you cope with the changes, including the changes in the dynamics of your relationship, that you're both facing now. These hormonal shifts may also contribute to some pretty strange and surprising pregnancy-like symptoms in dads-to-be. What's more, or less, they may keep dad's libido in check, often a good thing since a raging sex drive can sometimes be inconvenient during pregnancy, and definitely when there's a new baby in the house. Hormone levels typically return to normal within 3 to 6 months of baby's arrival, bringing with them an end to those pseudo-pregnancy symptoms, and a return to libido business as usual, though not necessarily to sex life as usual, until baby's sleeping through the night.
Fetal movement.
I haven't felt the baby moving yet. Could something be wrong? Or could I just not be recognizing the kicking when I feel it?
Forget that positive pregnancy test, the early ultrasound, that expanding belly, or even the lub-dub of a baby's heartbeat. Nothing says you're pregnant like fetal movement. That is, when you finally feel it. And you're sure you felt it. However, few expectant moms, particularly first-timers, feel the first kick or even the first flutter in the fourth month. Though an embryo starts making spontaneous movements by the seventh week, those movements, made by very tiny arms and legs, don't become apparent to mom until much later. That first flutter can be felt any time from the 14th and 26th week, but most moms feel it closer to the average of 18 to 22 weeks. A mom expecting her second baby is likely to feel those early flutters sooner than a mom who's expecting her first. Not only because she knows what a kick feels like, but because her looser uterine and abdominal muscles make it easier to feel a kick. Mom who's on the skinny side may notice early flutters, while one who's sporting lots of padding on her belly may not be aware of movements until they start packing more of a punch. The position of the placenta can also play a role. If it's facing front, an anterior placenta, it can muffle the movements and make the wait for those kicks weeks longer. Even then, the movements may feel weaker. Sometimes fetal movements aren't noticed when expected because of a miscalculated due date. Other times, mom doesn't recognize the movement when she feels it. She may mistake it for gas or other digestive gurgles. So what do early movements feel like? They're almost as hard to describe as they are to recognize. Maybe it'll feel like a flutter, sort of like the butterflies you can get when you're nervous, or a twitch, or a nudge, or even like the growling of hunger pangs. Maybe it'll feel like a bubble bursting, or that upside-down, inside-out sensation you get on a roller coaster. No matter what it feels like, it's bound to put a smile on your face, at least once you figure out for sure what it is. Body image.
I've always watched my weight, and now when I look in the mirror or step on a scale, I get so depressed. I feel so fat.
When you've watched your weight for so many years, watching the numbers on the scale creep up in a matter of weeks can be unnerving, and maybe a little depressing too. But it shouldn't be. If there's one place where thin is never in, it's in pregnancy. You're supposed to gain weight when you're pregnant, and there's a very important difference between pounds gained from overeating, say from too many midnight dates with Ben and Jerry, and pounds gained from making a baby. In the eyes of most beholders, a pregnant woman's rounded silhouette is among the most sensuous of female shapes, beautiful not only on the inside, but on the outside as well. So instead of longing for the thinner old days, they'll be back eventually, try getting on board with your expectant body. Embrace those new curves, which will become even more fun to embrace as they grow. Celebrate your new shape. Relish being rounder. Enjoy the pounds you pack on instead of dreading them. As long as you're eating well and not exceeding the recommended guidelines for pregnancy weight gain, there's no reason to feel fat. Just pregnant. The added inches you're seeing are all legitimate byproducts of pregnancy, and they're temporary. The baby will be a keeper for sure, but the extra inches won't be. If you're packing on too many pounds too fast, feeling down probably won't keep your weight from climbing ever higher. And if you're a typical estrogen producer, we'll only send you to the freezer for that vat of vanilla more often. But taking a good look at your eating habits might. Remember, the idea isn't to stop the weight gain. Your baby needs that weight to grow. Only to slow it down to the right rate if it's adding up a little too quickly. To do that, become more efficient in your eating. For instance, instead of digging into a pint of ice cream to score some calcium, sip a strawberry smoothie. You'll get far more calcium, far fewer calories, plus a bonus of vitamin C. Watching your weight gain isn't the only way to give your image an edge. Exercise will definitely help too, by ensuring that the weight you do gain ends up in all the right places. More belly, less hips and thighs. Another workout plus, it'll give you a mood lift. It's hard to host a pity party when you've got an exercise-induced endorphin high going. Being maternity fashion forward can also help you make friends with your mirror. Instead of trying to squeeze into your civilian wardrobe, nothing flattering about the mommy muffin top look, especially when buttons keep popping. Choose from the vast selection of creative maternity styles that accentuate the pregnant shape, rather than trying to hide it. You'll like your mirror image better too if you get a hairstyle that's slimming, pamper your complexion, and experiment with new makeup routines. Most of all, remember that the body that's reflected in your mirror is working hard making a baby. And what could be more beautiful than that? Maternity clothes.
I can't squeeze into my regular clothes anymore, but I dread buying maternity clothes.
There's never been a more stylish time to be pregnant. Gone are the days when pregnancy wardrobes were limited to polyester pup tents intended to keep the pregnant shape undercover. Not only are today's maternity clothes a lot more fashion-forward and practical to wear, but they're designed to hug and highlight your beautiful baby-filled belly. Visit a nearby maternity store or shop one online, and you'll likely to be filled with excitement instead of dread. Here are some tips to consider when clothes shopping for two. You still have a long way to grow, so don't set off on a spending spree on the first day you can't button your jeans. Maternity clothes can be costly, especially when you consider the relatively short period of time they can be worn. So buy as you grow, and then buy only as much as you need. Though the pregnancy pillows available in maternity store dressing rooms can give a good indication of how things will fit later, they can't predict how you will carry, high, low, big, small, and which outfits will end up being the most comfortable when you crave comfort most. You're not limited to maternity clothes. If it fits, wear it. Buying non-maternity clothes for maternity use or using items you already own is, of course, the best way to avoid investing a fortune on outfits you'll wear only briefly. And depending on what the stores are showing in a particular season, hopefully the look will be flowy and drapey. Anywhere from a few to many of the fashions on the regular racks may be suitable for pregnant shapes, though you may need to size up. Still be wary of spending a lot. Though you may love the clothes now, you may love them considerably less after you've worn them throughout your pregnancy. Plus, if you bought them on the big side, they may not fit once you've shed your baby fat. You've got it, so flaunt it. Bellies are out of the closet and out from under those mama moo-moos. Most maternity clothes celebrate the pregnant bump and the more voluptuous rump, with clingy fabrics and snug-fitting styles, say in a wrap dress instead of under wraps. And that's something to celebrate. Since belly accentuating maternity wear actually slims your silhouette down. Not crazy about the cling. Long flowing maxi dresses are comfortable and easy to wear options too, especially as your belly grows. Another great option, low-rise jeans and pants that can be worn under your belly. A low-rise is also elongating because it doesn't cut you off in the middle. And what expectant mom couldn't use a little elongating? And talking about flaunting what you've got, Pick a body part that you feel most comfortable with, let's say your arms or legs or cleavage, and choose clothes that highlight that great asset or butt of yours. Dip into his drawer. It's all there for the taking, though it's probably a good idea to ask first. Oversized shirts that look great over pants or leggings, sweatpants that accommodate more inches than yours do, running shorts that will keep up with your waistline for at least a couple more months, belts with the few extra notches you need. Keep in mind, though, that by the 6th month, possibly a lot sooner, no matter how big your man is around the middle, you're likely to outgrow him and his clothes. Both a borrower and lender be. Accept all offers of used maternity clothes as long as they fit. In a pinch, any dress, skirt, or pair of jeans may do. You can make any borrowed item your own with accessories. When your term is over, offer to lend those maternity outfits you bought and can't or don't want to wear postpartum to newly pregnant friends. Between you and your friends, you'll be getting your money's worth. Be a renter too. Have a wedding or other formal event to attend and don't feel like shelling out the big bucks for a one-night-only maternity ensemble? Consider renting it from one of the growing numbers of maternity clothing rental services, like Rent the Runway. Some moms even rent their entire maternity wardrobes. Don't overlook those accessories the public never sees. A well-fitting supportive bra should be your bosom buddy during pregnancy, especially as that bosom expands and expands. Skip the sale racks and put yourself in the hands of an experienced fitter at a well-stocked lingerie department or shop. With any luck, she'll be able to tell you approximately how much extra room and support you need and which kind of bra will provide it. But don't stock up. Buy just a couple and then go back for another fitting when you graduate to the next cup. Special maternity underwear isn't usually necessary, but if you do decide to go that route, you'll probably be relieved to find it's a lot sexier than it used to be. Goodbye granny panties, hello thongs and bikinis. You can also opt for regular bikini panties, bought in a larger than usual size if you need the room, worn under your belly. Buy them in favorite colors and or sexy fabrics to give your spirits a lift. But make sure the crotches are cotton. Cotton is cooler. Hot stuff, fabrics that don't breathe, such as nylon and other synthetics, isn't so hot when you're pregnant. Because your metabolic rate is higher than usual, making you feel warmer than usual, you'll feel more comfortable in cotton. You'll also be less likely to get heat rash, a common complaint among the pregnant set. Knee highs or thigh highs will also be more comfortable than tights or pantyhose, but avoid those that have a narrow, constrictive band at the top. If you do tights, opt for cotton. Yes, even support hose comes in cotton. Light colors, mesh weaves, and looser fits will also help you keep your cool in warm weather. When the weather turns cold, dressing in layers is ideal, since you can selectively peel off as you heat up or when you go indoors.
Trimming tricks. Big is beautiful when you're expecting, but that doesn't mean you can't try some tricks of the trim. With the right fashion choices, you can highlight your babylicious bump while slimming your overall silhouette. Here's how to show in all the right places. Make black a basic, and navy blue, chocolate brown, deep purple, dark maroon, or charcoal. You've heard this before, but dark colors are slimming, minimizing body bulk, and giving you an overall trimmer appearance, even if you're wearing a t-shirt and yoga pants. Think monotone. One color fits all, or at least looks slimmer. Sticking to a single hue or to one color with slight variations from top to bottom will make you look longer and leaner. A two-tone look, however, will create a break in your figure, causing the eye to stop right at the color change and possibly right where your hips start spreading. Be picky with prints. Tired of the monotone and want to add some pattern to your life? Choose a print that's just the right size. Too small and you'll look large. Too large and you'll look even larger. Aim for a print that's mid-size, about the size of a golf ball, to get it just right. And look for prints that have only 2 or 3 colors. More just makes, well, more. Go long. It's the oldest trick in the fashion book, but for good reason. It works. As you widen, choose clothes with vertical lines, which create height and give you a leaner look, instead of horizontal lines, which widen you even further. Look for clothes with vertical stripes, vertical zippers, vertical stitching, and vertical rows of buttons. Go vertical with jewelry and accessories, too. A low-hanging necklace, mega-dangling earrings, an extra-long scarf. Focus on the pluses. Like those probably plus-size breasts of yours, there's never been a better time to spotlight your cleavage. And minimize attention to the spots that you might be less inclined to want to show off, such as those swollen ankles. Keep them under pants, long flowing skirts, or comfortable boots, or wear slimming black tights or leggings. Stay fit. With your clothes, that is. While you'll definitely want clothes that have room to grow in the bust and the belly, look for tops, shirts, sweaters, jackets, and dresses that fit you well in the shoulders, probably the only part of your body that won't be widening. Hanging shoulders will give you a sloppy and bulky look. And though clinging can be slimming, watch out for clothes that are so clingy they appear too tight, like you've outgrown them, which you probably have. The overstuffed sausage look is never in style, after all.
Unwanted advice.
Now that it's obvious I'm expecting, everyone, from my mother-in-law to strangers on the elevator, has advice for me. It drives me crazy.
There's just something about a bulging bump that brings out the so-called expert in everyone. Take your morning jog around the park, and someone is sure to chide, "You shouldn't be running in your condition." Lug home 2 bags of groceries from the supermarket, and you're bound to hear, "Do you think we should be carrying that?" Double dip at the ice cream shop, and expect the fingers to start wagging. "That baby fat's not going to be easy to lose, honey." Between the pregnancy police, the gratuitous advice givers, and all those inevitable predictions about the sex of the baby, what's an expectant mother to do? First of all, keep in mind that most of what you hear is probably nonsense. Old wives' tales that do have foundation, in fact, have been, for the most part, scientifically substantiated and have become part of standard medical practice. Those that do not might still be tightly woven into pregnancy mythology, but can be confidently dismissed. Those recommendations that leave you with a nagging doubt, what if they're right, are best checked out with your doctor, midwife, or childbirth educator. Whether it's possibly plausible or obviously ridiculous, however, don't let unwanted advice get you going. Instead, keep your sense of humor handy and try one of these approaches. Politely inform the well-meaning stranger, friend, or relative that you have a trusted practitioner who counsels you on your pregnancy, and that, even though you appreciate the thought, you can't accept advice from anyone else. Or just as politely, smile, say thank you, and go on your way, letting their comments go in one ear and out the other. But no matter how you choose to handle unwanted advice, you might as well get used to it. If there's anyone who attracts the crowd of advice givers faster than a woman with a belly, it's a woman with a new baby. Unwanted belly touching.
Now that I'm showing, everyone, even people I barely know, comes up to me and touches my belly without even asking. I find that kind of creepy.
They're round, they're cute, they're filled with something even cuter. Let's face it, pregnant bellies just scream out to be touched, and they often are, usually without permission. And that's just fine with some moms-to-be who don't mind being the center of so much touching attention. Still, bottom line, your belly, your business. It may take a village after all, but bumps aren't the communal property some people view them as, and bellies can and should have borders. If the uninvited rubbing is rubbing you the wrong way, you have every right to head off those hands headed towards your bump. You can do this bluntly, if politely. "I know you find my belly tempting to touch, but I'd really rather you didn't." Or playfully, "No touching, please, the baby's sleeping." Or you can try turning the tummy tables, rubbing the rubber right back. Patting someone's paunch might make him or her think twice before touching another pregnant belly without permission. Or make your statement without saying a word. Cross your arms protectively over your bump, or place the rubber's hand somewhere else. like on his or her own belly. Forgetfulness.
Last week, I left the house without my cell phone. This morning, I completely forgot an important appointment. I can't focus on anything, and I'm beginning to think I'm losing my mind.
You're in good, forgetful company. Many moms-to-be begin to feel that as they're gaining pounds, they're losing brain cells. Even women who usually manage to micromanage to the max, stay focused and organized in the face of chaos, and cope with whatever a day sends their way, suddenly find themselves forgetting appointments, missing meetings, losing their train of thought, along with their cool and their wallets and cell phones. And this pregnancy forgetfulness isn't in their heads, it's in their brains. Researchers have found that a woman's brain cell volume actually decreases during pregnancy. Fortunately, this pregnancy brain fog, similar to what many women experience with PMS, only thicker, is only temporary. Your brain will pump back up a few months after delivery. Like most pregnancy symptoms, pregnancy forgetfulness, often dubbed placenta brain, or pregnancy brain, or baby brain, is hormonally triggered. Sleep deprivation can also play a role. The less you sleep, the less you remember, as can the fact that you're constantly low on energy, energy your brain needs to stay focused. Also contributing, the mom-to-be mind overload that's keeping all brain circuits busy. Feeling stressed about all this intellectual fogginess will only make it worse. Recognizing that it's normal and not imagined, even accepting it with a sense of humor, may help to ease it or make you feel better. It might just not be possible to be as efficient as you were before you took on the added job of baby making. Keeping checklists on your smartphone can help contain the mental chaos. That is, if you can remember where you put your phone last. Set electronic reminders of important dates and appointments and tap into the What to Expect app. Strategically placed post-its, one on the front door to remind you to take your keys, for instance, can also help keep you on track. Although ginkgo biloba has been touted for its memory-boosting properties, it's not considered safe for use during pregnancy, so you'll have to forget about using that and any other herbal preparation in your battle against pregnancy-induced forgetfulness. You may find more focus, though, from regular infusions of protein and complex carbs in the form of those maxi-sustaining mini-meals. Low blood sugar caused by too long stretches between eating and eating well can definitely contribute to that foggy feeling. And you might as well get used to working at a little below peak efficiency. The fog may well continue after your baby's arrival because of fatigue, not hormones, and perhaps not lift completely until baby and you start sleeping through the night.
Brain changes that make you a mom. While it's true that moms-to-be lose brain cells during pregnancy, specifically losing gray matter in several brain areas, researchers are finding that the changes in size and structure of an expectant mom's brain actually enhance a woman's maternal response. In other words, the loss of gray matter makes room for other parts of the brain, the nurturing, attachment, maternal side, to mature and specialize. So your brain loss is your baby's gain. All about working out when you're expecting.
You're aching and you can't sleep and your back is killing you and your ankles are swelling and you're constipated and bloated and you're passing more gas than a busload of high school football players who just stopped for fast food. In other words, you're pregnant. Now, if only there were something you could do that might minimize the aches and pains and unpleasant side effects of pregnancy. Actually, there is, and it'll take just minutes. Make that 30 minutes a day. Exercise. Thought pregnancy was a time to take it easy? Not anymore. Lucky for you, or unlucky if you're a member of the Couch Potato Club, the official advice of ACOG reads like a personal trainer's pep talk. Women with normal pregnancies should get 30 minutes or more a day of moderate exercise on most, if not all, days. And barring any activity restrictions from your practitioner, you can too. It doesn't matter whether you started out as an iron woman in peak physical condition or a sofa slacker who hasn't laced up sneakers since your last gym class except as a fashion statement. There are plenty of perks to exercising for two.
Your main squeeze. Looking for a workout that you can do anytime, anywhere, on the sofa, at your desk, in line at the supermarket, sitting in traffic, eating lunch, browsing baby sites, even while you're having sex, without heading to the gym or breaking a sweat? Say hello to the Kegel, an exercise that works out one of the most important sets of muscles in your body, your pelvic floor muscles. Never thought much about your pelvic floor muscles? Or maybe never even realized you had them? It's time to start paying attention. They're the muscles that support your uterus, bladder, and bowels, and they're designed to stretch so your baby can come out. They're also the muscles that keep your urine from leaking when you cough or laugh, a skill set you're likely to appreciate only when it's gone, as can happen with postpartum incontinence. These multi-talented muscles can also make for a much more satisfying sexual experience. Luckily, Kegels can easily whip those miracle muscles into shape with minimal time and minimal effort. Just 5 minutes of Kegels 3 times a day, and you'll tone your way to a long list of both short and long-term benefits. Toned pelvic floor muscles can ease a host of pregnancy and postpartum symptoms, from hemorrhoids to urinary and fecal incontinence. They can help you prevent an episiotomy or even a tear during delivery. Plus, doing your Kegels faithfully during pregnancy will help your vagina snap back more gracefully after your baby's grand exit, and even if you end up having a C-section. Ready to Kegel? Here's how. Tense the muscles around your vagina and anus and hold, as you would if you were trying to stop the flow of urine. Working up to 10 seconds. Slowly release and repeat. Shoot for 3 sets of 20 daily. Keep in mind when you Kegel that all your focus should be on those pelvic muscles and not any others. If you feel your stomach tensing or your thighs or buttocks contracting, your pelvics aren't getting their full workout. Make Kegels your main squeeze during pregnancy, and you'll reap the benefits of stronger pelvic floor muscles for a lifetime. Try doing them during sex, too. Both you and your partner will feel the difference. Now that's a workout you can get excited about.
The benefits of exercise. So what's in it for you? Regular exercise can help your stamina. It seems counterintuitive, but sometimes getting too much rest can actually make you feel more tired. A little exercise can go a long way when it comes to giving your energy level the boost it needs. Your sleep. Many pregnant women have a hard time falling asleep, not to mention staying asleep. But those who exercise consistently often sleep better and wake up feeling more rested. Just don't work out right before bed. Your health. Exercise, especially when teamed with reasonable weight gain and a healthy diet, may prevent gestational diabetes, a growing problem among pregnant women. Your mood. Exercise causes your brain to release endorphins, those feel-good chemicals that give you a natural high, improving your mood, diminishing stress and anxiety. Your back. A strong set of abs is the best defense against back pain, which bothers many pregnant women. But even exercise that's not directly targeting the tummy can also relieve back pain and pressure. An example, swimming or water aerobics can be the perfect prescription for pregnancy back pain, sciatic pain too. Your tense muscles. Stretching does your body good, especially a pregnant body, which is more prone to muscle cramps in the legs and elsewhere. Stretching can help you uncover little pockets of tension, warding off sore muscles. Plus, you can do it anywhere, anytime, even if you spend most of your day sitting down, and you don't even have to break a sweat. Your bowels. An active body encourages active bowels. Even a 10-minute stroll helps get things moving. Kegels can too. Your labor. Though exercise during pregnancy can't guarantee that you'll race through childbirth, moms who exercise tend to have shorter labors and are less likely to need labor and delivery interventions, including C-sections. Your postpartum recovery. The more fit you stay during pregnancy, the faster you'll recover physically after childbirth, and the sooner you'll be zipping up those skinny jeans again. What's in it for baby? Plenty. Researchers theorize that changes in the heart rate and oxygen levels in exercising moms-to-be stimulate their babies. Babies are also stimulated by the sounds and vibrations they experience in the womb during workouts. Exercise regularly during pregnancy and your baby might end up being more fit. On average, babies of moms who exercise during pregnancy are born at healthier weights, are better able to weather labor and delivery, they're less stressed by it, and recover from the stresses of birth more quickly. And since a baby's heart rate gets pumped up as his or her mom pumps up, it's as if the baby is also getting a cardio workout, which may result in a healthier heart later in life. Smarter. Believe it or not, research shows that babies of moms who exercise throughout pregnancy score higher on average on IQ tests by age 5, meaning that your workout may boost both your muscle power and baby's brain power. Easier. Babies of pregnant exercisers, on average, tend to sleep through the night sooner, are less prone to colic, and are better able to soothe themselves.
Working in workouts. Your mission when it comes to exercise during pregnancy, should you choose to accept it, and there are lots of reasons why you should, is to work your way up to 30 minutes of some sort of activity a day. And if that sounds daunting, keep in mind that 3 10-minute walks or even 6 5-minute mini workouts sprinkled throughout the day are just as beneficial as 30 minutes on the treadmill. See? It's not as hard as it sounds. Still not convinced that you have the time? To make your mission possible, try thinking of exercise as part of your day, like brushing your teeth and going to work, and build it into your routine. That's how it becomes routine, after all. If there's no place in your schedule to block out gym time, just incorporate exercise into your daily activities. Get off the bus 2 stops from the office and walk the rest of the way. Park your car in a faraway spot at the mall instead of cruising for the closest. And while you're at the mall, take a few extra laps around. Those count too. Take a brisk walk to the deli instead of ordering in your sandwich. Use the stairs instead of the elevator. Walk up the escalator instead of going along for the ride. Use the restroom that's farther away instead of the one across the hall. Have the time, but lack the motivation? Find it in a pregnancy exercise class. The camaraderie will help cheer you on, or by exercising with a friend. Form a lunchtime walking club, or hit the hiking trails with your buds on Saturdays before your weekly brunch. Just plain bored with your workouts? Switch it up. Try pregnancy yoga if you're tired, literally, of running, or swimming. Or water aerobics if the stationary cycle is getting you nowhere. Find your exercise excitement in a pregnancy workout video. Sure, there'll be days, especially in those fatigue-prone first and third trimesters, when you're too pooped to lift your legs off the coffee table, never mind actually do leg lifts. But there's never been a better time or better reasons to get yourself moving.
Exercising the right way. Not only does your pregnant body not fit into your regular workout clothes anymore, it may not fit into your regular workout routine either. Now that you're exercising for 2, you'll need to make doubly sure you're exercising the right way. Here are some pointers, whether you're a gym junkie or a Sunday stroller. The starting line is the practitioner's office. Before you lace up your sneaks and hit the cardio class, make a pit stop at your practitioner's office for the workout green light. You'll almost certainly get it. Most women do. But if you have any medical or pregnancy complications, your practitioner may limit your exercise program, nix it entirely, or if you have or are at increased risk for gestational diabetes, even encourage you to exercise more. Be sure you're clear about what exercise programs are appropriate for you, and whether your normal fitness routine, if you have one, is safe to continue while you're expecting. If you're in good health, your practitioner will likely encourage you to stick with your regular routine as long as you feel up to it, with certain modifications, especially if your regular routine includes pregnancy taboo sports like ice hockey. Respect your body as it changes. Expect your routines to change as your body does. You'll need to modify your workouts as your sense of balance shifts, and you'll probably also have to slow down to avoid taking a spill, especially once you can no longer see your feet. Also expect workouts to feel different, even if you've been doing a particular routine for years. If you're a walker, for example, you'll feel more pressure on your hips and knees as your pregnancy progresses and as your joints and ligaments loosen. After the first trimester, you'll also have to accommodate your pregnant body by possibly avoiding any exercise that requires you to lie flat on your back, like some yoga and Tai Chi poses do. Both can restrict your blood flow. Start slow. If you're new at this, start slowly. It's tempting to begin off with a bang, running 3 miles the first morning or working out twice the first afternoon. But such enthusiastic beginnings usually lead not to fitness, but to sore muscles, sagging resolve, and abrupt endings. Start the first day with 10 minutes of warm-ups followed by 5 minutes of a more strenuous workout. But stop sooner if you begin to tire. And a 5-minute cool-down. After a few days, if your body has adjusted well, increase the period of strenuous activity by about 5 minutes until you're up to 30 minutes or more, if you feel comfortable. Already a gym rat? Remember that while pregnancy is a great time to maintain your fitness level, it's probably not a time to increase it. You can set new personal best after baby arrives. Get off to a slow start every time you start. Warm-ups can be a drag when you're eager to get your workout started and over with. But as every athlete knows, they're an essential part of any exercise program. They ensure that the heart and circulation aren't taxed suddenly and reduce the chances of injury to muscles and joints, which are more vulnerable when cold, and particularly during pregnancy. So walk before you run, swim slowly, or jog in place in the pool before you start your laps. Finish as slowly as you start. Collapse may seem like the logical conclusion to a workout, but it isn't physiologically sound. Stopping abruptly traps blood in the muscles, reducing blood supply to other parts of your body and to your baby. Dizziness, faintness, extra heartbeats, or nausea may result. So finish your exercise with exercise. About 5 minutes of walking after running, easy paddling after a vigorous swim, light stretching exercises after almost any activity. Top off your cool down with a few minutes of relaxation. You can help avoid dizziness and a possible fall if you get up slowly when you've been exercising on the floor or on the stationary bike. Watch the clock. Too little exercise won't be effective. Too much can be debilitating. A full workout from warm up to cool down can take anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, but keep the level of exertion mild to moderate. Keep it up. Exercising erratically 4 times 1 week and none the next won't get you or keep you in shape. Exercising routinely at least 4 times, preferably 5 to 7 times a week, every week, will. If you're too tired for a strenuous workout, don't push yourself, but do try to do the warm-up so that your muscles will stay limber and your discipline won't dissolve. Many women find that they feel better if they do some exercise, if not necessarily their full workout every day. Besides, daily or mostly daily exercise is, after all, what the doctors of ACOG ordered. Consider classes. For many moms-to-be, taking a group fitness class can provide camaraderie, support, and feedback, not to mention a motivating kick in the yoga pants when self-discipline lags. Any class you take should be specifically designed for moms-to-be and taught by an instructor who has pregnancy fitness cred. Look for a program that's fun, maintains moderate intensity, meets at least 3 times weekly, and individualizes according to abilities. If you can, try a class out before you buy a whole series. Can't commit to a regularly scheduled class? Bring one into your own home, at your own convenience, with the What to Expect When You're Expecting, the workout DVD. Make it fun. The right workout will be the one that you really enjoy instead of really dread. A workout that's fun, not torture, will be easier to stick with, particularly on days when you have no energy, feel the size of an SUV, or both. Do everything in moderation. Never exercise to the point of exhaustion when you're expecting. And even if you're a trained athlete, ask your practitioner whether it's wise to work out to your fullest capacity during pregnancy, whether it exhausts you or not. There are several ways of checking to see whether you're overdoing it, and checking your pulse isn't one of them, so lose that habit. First, if it feels good, it's probably okay. If there's any pain or strain, it's probably not. A little sweat is fine. A drenching sweat is a sign to slow down. So is being unable to carry on a conversation as you go. Work hard enough so you feel yourself breathing more heavily, but not so out of breath that you aren't able to talk, sing, or whistle while you work out. Needing a nap after completing a workout means you've likely worked too hard. You should feel energized, not drained after exercising. Know when to stop. Your body will signal when it's time by saying, "Hey, I'm tired." Take the hint right away and throw in the towel. Minor aches and pains that aren't necessarily dangerous, like round ligament pain, but that pop up every time you work out, are a sign that you should take it a little slower. Don't run as fast, for instance, or walk instead of run. More serious signals suggest a call to your practitioner. Unusual pain anywhere, hip, back, pelvis, chest, head, and so on. A cramp or stitch that doesn't go away when you stop exercising. Uterine contractions and chest pain. Lightheadedness or dizziness. Very rapid heartbeat. Severe breathlessness. Difficulty walking or loss of muscle control. Sudden headache, increased swelling. Amniotic fluid leakage or vaginal bleeding, or, after the 28th week, a slowing down or total absence of fetal movement. Taper off in the last trimester. Most women find that they need to slack off somewhat in the third trimester, particularly during the 9th month, when stretching routines and brisk walking or water workouts will probably provide enough exercise. If you feel up to sticking with a more vigorous program, and you're fit enough to handle it, your practitioner may greenlight your usual workout routine right up until delivery, but definitely ask first. Don't just sit there. Sitting for an extended period without a break causes blood to pool in your leg veins and can cause your feet to swell. If your work entails a lot of sitting, or if you have a long daily commute or travel long distances frequently, be sure to break up every hour or so of sitting with 5 or 10 minutes of walking. And while at your seat, periodically do some exercises that enhance circulation, such as taking a few deep breaths, extending your lower legs, flexing your feet, and wiggling your toes. Also try contracting the muscles in your abdomen and buttocks, a sort of sitting pelvic tilt. If your hands tend to swell, periodically stretch your arms above your head, opening and closing your fists several times as you do.
Exercise smarts. Exercising with a baby on board? Remember to use your exercise smarts. Replenish fluids. For every half hour of moderate activity, you will need at least a full glass of extra liquid to compensate for fluids lost through perspiration. You will need more in warm weather and whenever you're sweating a lot. Drink before, during, and after exercising, but no more than 16 ounces at a time. It's a good idea to start your fluid intake 30 to 45 minutes before your planned workout. Bring on the snacks. A light but sustaining before-workout snack will help keep your energy up. Follow up with a light snack too, especially if you've burned a lot of calories. You'll have to consume about 150 to 200 additional calories for every half hour of moderate exercising. Stay cool. Any exercise or environment that raises a pregnant woman's temperature more than 1.5 degrees should be avoided. It causes blood to be shunted to the skin and away from the uterus as the body attempts to cool off. So stay out of saunas, steam rooms, or hot tubs, and don't exercise outdoors in very hot or humid weather, or indoors in a stuffy, overheated room. No Bikram or hot yoga. If you generally walk outdoors, try an air-conditioned mall instead when the temperature soars. Dress for exercise success. Play it cool by wearing loose, breathable, stretchable clothes. Choose a sports bra that provides plenty of support for your probably bigger breasts, but doesn't pinch once you get moving. Put your feet first. If your sneakers are showing their age, replace them now to minimize your chances of injury or falls. And make sure you choose workout shoes that are designed for the sport you're pursuing. Select the right surface. Indoors, a wood floor or a tightly carpeted surface is better than tile or concrete for your workouts. If the surface is slippery, don't exercise in socks or footed tights. Better yet, invest in a yoga mat that can do double duty as a surface for your cardio workout as well. Outdoors, soft running tracks and grassy or dirt trails are better than hard-surfaced roads or sidewalk. And level surfaces are better than uneven ones. Stay off the slopes. Because your growing bump will affect your sense of balance, ACOG suggests women in the latter part of pregnancy avoid sports that come with a higher risk of falling or abdominal injury. These include gymnastics, downhill skiing or snowboarding, ice skating, vigorous racket sports, play doubles instead of singles, and horseback riding, as well as cycling and contact sports such as ice hockey, soccer, and basketball. Stay on the level. Unless you're living at high altitudes, avoid any activity that takes you up more than 6,000 feet. On the flip side, scuba diving, which poses a risk of decompression sickness for your baby, is also off limits, so you'll have to wait until you're no longer carrying a passenger to take your next dive. Stay off your back. After the fourth month, don't exercise flat on your back. The weight of your enlarging uterus could compress major blood vessels, restricting circulation. Avoid certain moves. Some moms-to-be find that pointing or extending their toes can lead to cramps in their calves. If that's the case with you, and it probably won't be if you're a regular at the bar, flex your feet instead, turning your toes up toward your face. Full sit-ups or double leg lifts pull on the abdomen, so they're probably not a good idea when you've got a baby on board. Also avoid any activity that requires bridging, bending over backward, or other contortions, or that involves deep flexion or extension of joints, such as deep knee bends, jumping, bouncing, sudden changes in direction, or jerky motions.
Choosing the right pregnancy workouts. While it's true that pregnancy isn't the time to learn to water ski, snowboard, or enter a horse jumping competition, you'll still be able to enjoy most fitness activities and use many of the machines at the gym, with a few caveats. You can select two from the growing number of exercise programs specifically designed for expecting moms: pregnancy water aerobics, pregnancy Pilates, and prenatal yoga classes, for example. But be sure to ask your practitioner about what's okay and what's not when it comes to choosing an exercise program or sport. You'll probably find that most of the activities that are off limits when you're expecting are ones you'd probably have a hard time doing well anyway once you have a basketball-sized belly, like competitive basketball, or football, or scuba diving, or downhill racing, or mountain biking. Here are the do's and don'ts of pregnancy workouts. Walking. Just about anyone can do it, and do it just about anywhere, anytime. There's no easier exercise to fit into your busy schedule than walking. Don't forget, all the walking you do counts, even if it's walking 2 blocks to the market or 10 minutes while the dog does her business. And you can continue to fit it in right up until delivery day, and even on delivery day if you're eager to get those contractions moving along. Best of all, there's no equipment necessary and no gym membership or classes to pay for either. All you need is a supportive pair of sneakers and comfortable, breathable clothes. If you're just beginning a walking routine, go slowly at first. Start out at a stroll before you move on to a brisk pace. Weather's not cooperative, do a power mall walk. Jogging. Experienced runners can stay on track during pregnancy, but you may want to limit your distances and stick to level terrain or use a treadmill. If you weren't a runner pre-pregnancy, stick to brisk walking for now. Keep in mind that loosening ligaments and joints during pregnancy can literally be a pain, making running harder on your knees, and also make you more prone to injury. All good reasons to listen to your pregnant body and adjust your runs accordingly. Exercise machines. Treadmills, ellipticals, and stair climbers are all good bets during pregnancy. Adjust speed, incline, and tension to a level that's comfortable for you, starting out slowly if you're a rookie. Toward the end of your pregnancy, though, you may find a machine workout too strenuous, or maybe not. As always, take your cues from your body. You may also have to be more conscious of avoiding stumbles on the machine when you're no longer able to see your feet. Swimming and water workouts. Consider this. In the water, you weigh just a tenth of what you do on land. How often do you have the chance to be close to weightless these days? Making water workouts the perfect choice for a pregnant woman. Working out in the water boosts your strength and flexibility, but is gentle on your joints. Plus, there's much less risk of overheating, unless the pool is overheated. What's more, many pregnant women report that water workouts help ease swelling in their legs and feet and relieve sciatic pain. Most gyms with a pool offer water aerobics, and many have classes specifically designed for expectant moms. Just be careful when walking on slippery pool sides and don't dive in. Yoga. Yoga encourages relaxation, focus, and paying attention to your breathing. So it's just about perfect for pregnancy and great preparation for childbirth as well as for parenting. It also increases oxygenation, bringing more oxygen to the baby, and increases flexibility, possibly making pregnancy and delivery easier. Select a class that's specifically tailored to expectant women or ask your instructor how to modify poses so that they're safe for you. For instance, you probably shouldn't exercise on your back after the fourth month, and as pregnancy progresses, your center of gravity changes, so you'll have to adjust your favorite poses accordingly. And unless you're an experienced yoga inversion practitioner, you should probably avoid full inversions, handstand, supported shoulder stand, and supported headstand after the third month, not only because your balance will be off, but also because of potential blood pressure issues. Some doctors and midwives say half inversions, like downward facing dog, are okay during pregnancy. Another important caveat, avoid Bikram or hot yoga. It's done in a very warm room, one that's generally 90 to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and you'll need to take a pass during pregnancy on any workouts that heat you up too much. Pilates. Pilates is similar to yoga in that it's a discipline that improves your flexibility, strength, and muscle tone with no to low impact. The focus is on strengthening your core, which will ease backaches and improve your posture, important for preventing aches and pains when you're toting a baby in your belly, but also when you're toting one in your arms. Look for a class specifically tailored to pregnant women, or let your instructor know that you're expecting, so you can avoid pregnancy-inappropriate moves, including those that overstretch, or equipment that isn't compatible with pregnancy. Dance aerobics. Zumba mama? Experienced athletes in good shape can continue all types of dance, like belly dancing, ballroom dancing, hip-hop or salsa, Zumba, and so on, and aerobic workouts during pregnancy. But dance with care. Tone down the intensity level, avoid jumping or high-impact movements, and never exert yourself to the point of exhaustion. If you're a beginner, choose low-impact aerobics or consider the water version, which is uniquely suited to the pregnant set. Bar classes. These ballet-inspired workouts are great when you're expecting because they include lots of legwork with minimal jumping. The balance exercise and core strengthening are pregnancy-perfect too, especially when your swelling belly slackens the core and throws you off balance. So belly up to the bar, but with a little mom-to-be modification. Since some of the lower body movements may put strain on your back, especially as your belly gets bigger, adapt movements such as getting to your hands and knees for certain positions as needed. Step routines. As long as you're already in good shape and have experience doing step routines, it's usually fine to stay in step with them now. Just remember that your joints are more prone to injury when you're pregnant, so stretch out well beforehand and don't overexert yourself. And of course, don't step on something too high off the ground. As your abdomen expands, avoid any activities that require careful balance. Spinning. Is spinning in when you're expecting? If you've been spinning for at least 6 months before pregnancy, you should be able to continue, but tone down the workout and let the instructor know you're expecting so you're not pushed too hard. Remember to take it down a notch if you're panting or gasping for breath. And for maximum comfort, adjust the handlebars so they're closer to you, allowing you to sit back instead of leaning forward, which could make your lower back ache more than it likely already does. Stay seated, since standing while spinning is too intense for a mama to be. If spinning suddenly seems exhausting, take a bike break until after the baby's born and after you've recovered from childbirth. Kickboxing. Kickboxing takes grace and speed, two things pregnant women don't typically possess lots of. Many pregnant kickboxers find they can't kick as high or move as quickly, but if you're still comfortable getting your exercise from getting your kicks, and you have plenty of experience, no novices now, it's okay to continue while you're expecting. Just be sure to avoid any movements that you have difficulty with or cause you to strain. Make sure you keep a safe distance from other kickboxers. You don't want to be kicked in the belly by accident, by leaving two leg lengths of space between you and those around you. Be sure, too, that everyone in the class knows that you're pregnant, or look for pregnancy-specific classes where everyone around you is pregnant and far away. Weight training. Using weights can increase your muscle tone and get your biceps ready for lifting baby, but it's important to avoid heavy weights or those that require grunting or breath holding, which may compromise blood flow to the uterus. Use light weights with multiple repetitions instead. Ask your practitioner about what modifications you'll need to make to your TRX routine or whether you should retire the equipment for the duration. And skip those CrossFit routines for now, unless you've been at it for years and your practitioner gives you the thumbs up. Outdoor sports. Hiking, skating, bicycling, skiing. Pregnancy isn't the time to take up a new sport, especially one that challenges your balance, but experienced athletes should be able to continue these activities with their practitioner's approval and some sensible precautions. When hiking, be sure to avoid uneven terrain, especially later on in pregnancy, when it won't be easy to see that rock in your path. High altitudes and slippery conditions, and of course, rock climbing is out. When biking, be extra careful. Wear a helmet, don't ride on wet pavement, winding paths, or bumpy surfaces. Falling is never a good idea, but especially not when you're pregnant. And don't lean forward into racing posture. It can tax your lower back, plus this isn't the time for speeding. Slow and steady should win all your races now. As for ice skating, you can give it a whirl and a figure eight early in pregnancy if you're experienced and careful. Later on, you'll probably face balance issues, so stop as soon as you get more bulky than graceful. Ditto for inline skating and horseback riding. Avoid downhill skiing or snowboarding altogether, even if you got years of double black diamonds under your belt. The risk of a serious fall or collision is too great. Even pros take the occasional tumble. And there's no gauging the skill of others around you. Cross-country skiing and snowshoeing are okay for the experience, but you'll have to be extra careful to avoid falling. Tai Chi. An ancient form of meditative exercises, Tai Chi's basic slow movements allow even the least limber the opportunity to relax and strengthen the body without the risk of injury. If you're comfortable with it and have experience, it's fine to continue Tai Chi now. Look for pregnancy-specific classes or just stick to moves you can easily complete. Take extra care with the balancing poses.
30 minutes plus? Is more exercise more or less? That depends. If you're really ambitious or just really fit and you've been green-lighted by your practitioner based on your fitness level, It's safe to work out for up to an hour or even more, as long as you listen to your body. Moms-to-be tend to tire out sooner than they used to, and tired bodies are more apt to injure themselves. Plus, overexertion could lead to other problems. For instance, dehydration, if you don't take in enough fluids, or lack of oxygen to the baby if you're short of breath for long periods. Burning more calories during your marathon sessions also means you'll need to take in more, so be sure to compensate appropriately. The best part of the workout, wouldn't you say?
Basic pregnancy exercises. Never been to a gym, don't know a lunge from a squat, or just unsure where to begin when exercising for two? Here are some simple and safe exercises you can do when you're expecting. Shoulder stretch. To ease tension in your shoulders, especially helpful if you spend a lot of time at the computer, try this simple move. Stand with your feet shoulder-width apart and knees slightly bent. Bring your left arm out in front of you at chest height and bend it slightly. Take your right hand, place it on your left elbow, and then gently pull your left elbow towards your right shoulder as you exhale. Hold the stretch for 5 to 10 seconds, then switch sides. Standing leg stretch. Give your legs a much-needed break with this easy stretch. Stand and hold onto a countertop, the back of a heavy chair, or another sturdy object for support. Bend your right knee and bring your right foot back and up towards your buttocks. Grasp your foot with your right hand and bring your heel towards your buttocks while extending your thigh backward from the hip joint. Keep your back straight and hold the stretch for 10 to 30 seconds. Repeat with the left leg. Dromedary droop or cat-cow pose. A great way to relieve back pressure is to get down on your hands and knees and relax your back, keeping your head straight and making sure your neck is lined up with your spine. Then arch your back, you'll feel your abs and buttocks tighten. Let your head gently droop down. Slowly return to your original position. Repeat several times and do the stretch several times a day if you can, especially if you're standing or sitting a lot on the job. Neck relaxer. This exercise will ease tension in your neck. Sit up tall, close your eyes, and breathe deeply. Then gently tilt your head to one side and let it slowly drop towards your shoulder. Don't raise your shoulder to meet your head, and don't force your head down. Hold for 3 to 6 seconds, then switch sides. Repeat 3 or 4 times. Gently bring your head forward, letting your chin relax into your chest. Roll your cheek to the right towards your shoulder. Again, don't force the motion, and don't move your shoulder towards your head. And hold for 3 to 6 seconds. Switch sides and repeat. Do 3 to 4 sets a day. Pelvic tilt. This simple routine can help improve your posture, strengthen your abs, reduce back pain, and help prepare you for labor. To begin a pelvic tilt, stand with your back against a wall and relax your spine. As you inhale, press the small of your back against the wall. Exhale, then repeat several times. For a variation that also helps reduce the pain of sciatica, try rocking your pelvis back and forth, keeping your back straight, while either kneeling on all fours or standing up. Do pelvic tilts regularly. Take a 5-minute pelvic tilt break several times during your workday. Leg lifts. Leg lifts use your body's own weight to tone your thigh muscles. No infomercial equipment necessary. Simply lie on your left side with your shoulders, hips, and knees lined up straight. Support yourself by holding your head with your left arm and placing your right arm on the floor in front of you. Then slowly lift your right leg as high as you comfortably can. Remember to breathe. Do 10 reps, then switch sides and repeat. Biceps curl. Start by selecting light weights, 3 or 5 pound weights if you're a beginner, and never more than 12 pounds, even if you're a pro. Stand with your legs shoulder width apart, making sure not to lock your knees. Keep your elbows in and your chest up. Slowly raise both weights towards your shoulders by bending your elbows and keeping your arms in front of you. Remember to breathe, stopping when your hands have reached your shoulders. Lower slowly and repeat. Try to do 8 to 10 repetitions, but take breaks if needed and don't overdo it. You'll feel a burn in your muscles, but you should never strain or start holding your breath. Taylor stretch. Sitting cross-legged and stretching will help you relax and get in touch with your body. The more familiar you are with your body as you move into labor and delivery, the better. Experiment with different arm stretches while sitting. Try placing your hands on your shoulders, then try reaching them over your head and stretching toward the ceiling. You can also alternate stretching one arm higher than the other or leaning to one side. Don't bounce as you stretch. Clamming. Lie on your right side with your legs slightly forward and knees bent and stacked on top of each other. Place a pillow under your head and a flat pillow under your belly for support. Stack your hips and keep your spine straight and abs drawn in as best as you can. Keeping your toes touching, rotate at your left hip and lift the left knee, taking your knees apart as far as possible. Slowly lower and repeat for 8 to 10 reps, then switch sides. Squats. This exercise strengthens and tones your thighs. To begin, stand with your feet shoulder-width apart. Keeping your back straight, bend at the knees, making sure they don't extend past your toes, and slowly lower yourself as close to the ground as you comfortably can. Hold the squat for 10 to 30 seconds, then slowly come back to a standing position. Repeat 5 times. Note, avoid lunges and deep knee bends since your joints are more prone to injury. Waist twists. If you've been sitting for a while or just feel generally tensed up or uncomfortable, try this easy circulation boosting move. Stand up and place your feet shoulder width apart. Twist gently from the waist, slowly turning from side to side. Keep your back straight and let your arms swing freely. Can't get up? You can do this exercise even while you're sitting. Hip flexors. Stretching the hip flexor muscles periodically will help keep you limber and make it easier for you to open your legs wide when it's time for your baby to exit. To flex your flexors, stand at the bottom of a flight of stairs as though you're about to climb them. Hang on to the railing with one hand for support if you need to. Place one foot on the first or second stair up, whatever you can comfortably reach, and bend your knee. Keep your other leg behind you, knee straight, foot flat on the floor. Lean into your bent leg, keeping your back straight. You'll feel the stretch in your straight leg. Switch legs and repeat. Chest stretches. Gently stretching your chest muscles will help you feel more comfortable while improving your circulation. Here's how. With your arms at shoulder level and bent, grasp both sides of a doorway. Lean forward, feeling the stretch in your chest. Hold this position for 10 to 20 seconds and release. Do 5 reps. Triangle pose. This pose works the legs, stretches the side of the body, and energizes the hips and opens up the shoulders, which might be drooping these days. Stand with your feet wider than hip distance apart and turn your right foot outward to 90 degrees and your left foot inward slightly so that you are comfortably balanced. Raise your arms sideways to shoulder level, keeping them parallel to the floor with your palms facing downward. Resist the urge to let your shoulders rise up to your ears. Take a deep breath in. Exhale slowly and bend at the waist as much as is comfortable to your right side. Extend your right hand downward toward your right ankle. No need to touch your ankle when you're contending with a big belly. Getting to your shin is just fine. Lift your left arm up, bringing it in line with your lowered right arm. Try to keep both arms and legs straight. Stay in this position for as long as is comfortable, breathing normally, return to your starting position and rest for a moment before repeating on the other side. Forearm plank. Get on your hands and knees, then lower yourself onto your elbows and place your forearms on the floor. Lace your fingers together, keeping your elbows wide. Straighten one leg at a time until your body forms a straight line from head to feet. Lengthen your body from head to tailbone, keeping abs pulled in as best as you can. If it's too difficult, keep your knees bent slightly or put your knees back on the floor. Breathe deeply as you hold the position for 5 to 10 seconds. Repeat. Need a rest? Sit back on your heels with your back straight. Ball exercises. Working out with a fitness, aka birthing ball, not only strengthens your abs, but helps maintain balance and stability as your belly grows. Here's one ball exercise to try. Sit upright on top of the ball, arms relaxed by your sides, and feet flat on the floor, a comfortable distance from the ball, and about hip-width apart. After balancing for a few seconds, lift your arms out to the sides, up to around shoulder height, and then straighten your right leg and lift it up to hip level. If extending your leg is difficult, keep your knee bent and just lift your foot off the floor. Lower your leg and then your arms, balance on the ball again, and repeat with your left leg. Do 6 to 8 reps alternating legs. The pelvic tilt, shoulder stretch, and forearm plank can also be modified for the fitness ball.
When workouts are out. Exercising during pregnancy can certainly do the average pregnant body and her baby good. But sometimes complications require a mom to sit pregnancy out, and in that case, taking it easy is the best prescription. If your practitioner has restricted exercise for you during part or all of your pregnancy, ask if there are any workouts you can still work in, say, arm-only exercises or stretches, so you can stay in shape while you stay on the sofa or even in bed. Chapter 9. The fifth month, approximately 18 to 22 weeks.
What was once completely abstract is getting real, fast. Chances are that sometime this month or the beginning of the next, you will feel your baby's movements for the first time. That miraculous sensation, along with the serious rounding of your belly, will finally make pregnancy feel more like a reality. Though your baby is far from ready to make a personal appearance in your arms, it's really nice to know for sure there's actually someone in there.
Your baby, the fifth month.
Week 18. At 5.5 inches long and about 5 to 6.5 ounces in weight, about the size of that chicken breast you're having for dinner, but a lot cuter, your baby is filling out nicely and getting large enough that you might even be feeling those twists, rolls, kicks, and punches he or she is perfecting. Another set of skills your baby is mastering now, yawning and hiccuping. You might even begin to feel those hiccups soon, as well as watch them shake your belly. And your one-of-a-kind baby is truly one-of-a-kind now, complete with unique fingerprints on those tiny fingertips and toes. Week 19. This week, your baby is hitting the growth charts at 6 inches long and just over a full 0.5 pound in weight. What fruit is it this week? Your baby's about the size of a large mango. A mango dipped in greasy cheese, actually. Vernix caseosa, a greasy white protective substance that resembles cheese, now covers your baby's sensitive skin, protecting it from that long soak in an amniotic bath. Without that protection, your baby would look very wrinkled at birth. The coating sheds as delivery approaches, but some babies born early are still covered with Vernix when they arrive. Week 20. You've got a baby the size of a sweet potato in your belly this week, about 10 ounces and 6.5 inches, crown to rump. Your ultrasound this month should be able to detect, if you want to know, whether your baby is a boy or a girl. And oh boy or oh girl, has a baby been busy. If you're having a girl, her uterus is fully formed. Her ovaries are holding about 7 million primitive eggs. Though at birth, the number of eggs will have dropped to closer to 2 million, more than enough to keep her covered during her reproductive years. And her vaginal canal is starting to develop. If you're having a boy, his testicles have begun their descent from the abdomen. In a few months, they'll drop into the scrotum, which is still under construction. Luckily for your baby, there's still plenty of room in your womb for twisting, turning, kicking, punching, and even an occasional somersault. If you haven't felt these acrobatics yet, you almost certainly will in the coming weeks. Week 21. How big is baby this week? Switching from crown to rump to crown to heel length, about 10 and a half inches in length. Think large banana. And almost 11 to 12 and a half ounces in weight. And speaking of carrots, you might want to eat some this week if you'd like your baby to have a taste for them. That's because the flavor of amniotic fluid differs from day to day, depending on what you've eaten. Hot chili one day, mild carrot another. And now that your baby is swallowing amniotic fluid each day for hydration, nutrition, and also to get practice swallowing and digesting, he or she will be getting a virtual taste of and a taste for whatever's on your menu. Here's another baby update. Arms and legs are finally in proportion. Neurons are now connected between the brain and muscles, and cartilage throughout the body is turning to bone, which means that when your baby makes those moves, which you're probably feeling by now, they're much more coordinated. No more jerky twitches. Week 22. Forget about ounces, baby. This week, we're talking a whopping weight of 1 pound and a crown to heel length of approximately 11 inches, about the size of a small doll. But your doll is a living one, with developing senses including touch, sight, hearing, and taste. What's your baby touching? He or she may grab onto the umbilical cord. There's not much else to hang on to in there. And practice a strong grip that will soon be clutching your fingers and pulling on your hair. What's your baby seeing? Though it's dark in the uterine cocoon, and even with fused eyelids, fetuses this age can perceive light and dark. If you shine a flashlight over your belly, you might feel your baby react, perhaps trying to turn away from the jarring light. What's your baby hearing? The sound of your voice and that of your partner, your heart beating, the whoosh-whoosh of your blood circulating through your body, those gastric gurgles produced by your stomach and intestines, the dog barking, sirens, a loud TV. And what's your baby tasting? Pretty much everything you're tasting. So pass the salad.
Your body, the fifth month.
Here are some symptoms you may experience this month or may not experience, since every pregnancy is different. Some of these symptoms may be continuing from last month, while others may be brand new. Some may be easing up, others intensifying. Physically, more energy. Fetal movement, probably by the end of the month. Increasing vaginal discharge. Achiness in the lower abdomen and along one side or the other, or sometimes on both sides, from stretching of the ligaments supporting the uterus. Constipation. Heartburn. Indigestion, flatulence, bloating, occasional headaches, occasional lightheadedness or dizziness, especially when getting up quickly or when your blood sugar dips, backache, nasal congestion and occasional nosebleeds, ear stuffiness, sensitive gums that may bleed when you brush, hearty appetite, leg cramps, mild swelling of ankles and feet, and occasionally of hands and face. Varicose veins of legs and or of vulva, hemorrhoids, skin color changes on belly and or face, a protruding navel, a popped out belly button, faster pulse, heart rate, easier or more difficult orgasm. Emotionally, a growing sense of reality about the pregnancy, fewer mood swings, so you'll likely still be weepy and irritable occasionally, forgetfulness, absent-mindedness, a.k.a. placenta brain.
Your body this month. You're halfway through your pregnancy now, and the top of your uterus will hit your belly button sometime around the 20th week. By the end of this month, your uterus will be about an inch above your belly button. Chances are, there's no hiding the fact that you're pregnant now, though some women may still not be showing noticeably. If you'd like to see any of the illustrations from this chapter, you can download and print out a special PDF from the same Audible page where you purchased your audiobook. What you can expect at the 5th month checkup.
This month, you can expect your practitioner to check the following, though there may be variations depending on your particular needs and your practitioner's style of practice. Weight and blood pressure. Urine for sugar and protein. Fetal heartbeat. Size and shape of uterus by external palpation, feeling from the outside. Height of the fundus, top of uterus. Feet and hands for swelling and legs for varicose veins. Symptoms you've been experiencing, especially unusual ones. Questions or problems you want to discuss, have a list ready.
What you may be wondering about, the 5th month.
Heating up.
I feel hot and sweaty all the time these days, even when everybody else is cool. What's that about?
Feeling like hot stuff these days? You can thank your hormones plus increased blood flow to the skin and a hopped-up pregnancy metabolism for that perpetually damp feeling. Throw in a warm climate, a record-hot summer, or an overheated office in the middle of the winter and the heat is on big time. Hot flashes that hit you in the head, neck, and chest, lasting from seconds to minutes, can also make a mom-to-be even hotter. Luckily, there are plenty of ways to stay comfortable when the temperature inside you is soaring. To stay cool when you're heating for two, wear loose light clothing in cotton or other breathable fabrics and dress in layers so you can peel them off. Sleep smart, not sweaty. Besides turning the thermostat down when you're sleeping, consider switching to natural fibers when you sleep too, from your PJs to your pillow. To chill out fast, put ice packs, cold compresses, or cold running water on your inner wrists. Since it's a pulse point, the cold temp on the outside will help cool the blood inside. You can also try cold compresses on other pulse points when you're hot. Your neck, ankles, and behind the knees. Put any lotions you use in the fridge for at least 30 minutes before you apply. When you rub the cold creams on your skin, it'll help cool you down. No time for a cold shower. Wet your hands with cold water and then run your fingers through your hair, assuming you don't mind wet hair. A cooler head will prevail in cooling down your body. Or keep a spray bottle of water in the fridge at home and on the job for cold spritz. Munch on a bunch of frozen grapes. Not only will this net you some vitamin C and K, this delicious chilled snack will help cool you down, and it's a whole lot lower in fat than ice cream. Not a grape lover? You can freeze any type of cut-up fruit. Think mango, banana, berries, and so on, and grab it when you're heating up. Or stay hydrated and cool by freezing your water bottle and sipping the icy water as it melts. And speaking of munching, remember that the 6-meal solution is a solution for overheating problems too. Eating lightly more frequently will require less effort to digest. Spicy food may heat you up in the short term, but because it'll get you sweating, it'll cool you down later. A sprinkle of cornstarch-based powder can help absorb moisture, plus help to prevent heat rash. Sprinkle it on your skin while it's still dry. On the plus side, while you'll be more sweaty, you'll be less smelly. That's because the production of apocrine perspiration, the stinkier kind produced by glands under the arms and breasts and in the genital area, slows down when you're expecting. Dizziness.
I feel dizzy when I get up from a sitting position. And yesterday while I was shopping, I almost felt like I was going to black out for a minute. Am I okay?
Feeling a little dizzy can definitely be unsettling when you're pregnant, especially because you might already be having a hard enough time staying on your feet or keeping your balance. But it isn't dangerous. In fact, it's a pretty common and almost always normal symptom of pregnancy. Here's why. Throughout your pregnancy, high levels of your old friend progesterone cause your blood vessels to relax and widen, increasing the flow of blood to your baby, good for baby, but slowing the return of blood to you, not so good for mom. Less blood flow to you means lower blood pressure and reduced blood flow to your brain, which can contribute to that lightheaded, dizzy feeling. In the second trimester, that faint feeling may be caused by the pressure of your expanding uterus on your blood vessels. It can also be a sign of anemia. More about that later. Getting up too quickly, which causes a sudden blood pressure drop, can trigger an especially lightheaded moment. The cure for that kind of dizziness, also known as postural hypotension, is simple. Just get up gradually. Jumping up in a hurry to answer a text on the phone you left across the room is likely to land you right back on the sofa. Low blood sugar, something expectant moms are particularly prone to since they're fueling a baby factory, might also send the room spinning. To avoid those blood sugar dips, get some protein and complex carbs at every meal. This combo helps maintain even blood sugar levels. And eat more frequently, choosing the mini-meal approach or snacking in between meals. Carry trail mix, some freeze-dried fruit, nuts, a granola bar, or some whole grain chips in your bag for quick blood sugar lifts. Dizziness can be a sign of dehydration, so be sure you're getting enough fluids and that you're chug-a-lugging more if you've been sweating. A dizzy spell can also be triggered by indoor stuffiness in an overheated or crowded store, office, or bus, especially if you're overdressed. In that case, getting some fresh air by stepping outside or opening a window may bring relief. Taking off your coat and loosening your clothes, especially around the neck and waist, should help too. If you feel dizzy or like you're about to faint, lie down on your left side with your legs elevated if you can, or sit with your head lowered between your knees. Take deep breaths and loosen any tight clothing, like that button on your jeans. As soon as you feel a little better, get something to eat and drink. Tell your practitioner about the dizzy spells. He or she may want to check your iron levels to rule out anemia. Actual fainting is rare, but if you do faint, there is no need for concern. It won't affect your baby. But do call your practitioner as soon as possible.
When too much is too much. Feeling breathless or exhausted when you're jogging? What about when you're doing heavy cleaning? Does the vacuum cleaner suddenly feel as if it weighs a ton? Stop before you drop. Exerting yourself to the point of exhaustion is never a good idea. During pregnancy, it's a particularly bad one because overwork takes its toll not only on you, but on your baby as well. Instead of marathon activity sessions, pace yourself. Work or exercise a bit, then rest a bit. Ultimately, the work or the workout gets done, and you won't feel drained afterward. If occasionally something doesn't get done, consider it good training for the days when the demands of parenthood will frequently keep you from finishing what you started.
Anemia.
A friend of mine became anemic during pregnancy. Is that common?
Iron deficiency anemia is common during pregnancy, but it's also incredibly easy to prevent. And when it comes to prevention, your practitioner almost certainly has your back. You were already tested for anemia at your first prenatal visit, though it's unlikely you were low on iron then. That's because iron stores are quickly replenished once those monthly periods stop. As your pregnancy progresses and you hit the halfway mark, around 20 weeks coming right up, your blood volume expands significantly, and the amount of iron needed for producing red blood cells dramatically increases, depleting those stores once again. Fortunately, refilling those stores and effectively preventing anemia is as easy as taking a daily iron supplement in addition to your prenatal vitamin, which your practitioner may prescribe starting midway through pregnancy. You should also pump up your diet by eating foods loaded with iron. Though dietary sources may not do the job alone, they provide a great backup for an iron supplement. For extra absorption, chase your iron and iron-rich foods down with your morning OJ or another vitamin C-rich food or drink, but not with your morning Java, which will actually reduce the amount of iron absorbed. Is your iron supplement making your tummy miserable, causing nausea or constipation? Ask about switching to a time-release formula.
Symptoms of anemia. Pregnant women with mild iron deficiency rarely have noticeable symptoms, or symptoms that are easily distinguished from pregnancy symptoms. Most expectant moms are tired, whether they're anemic or not. But as oxygen-carrying red blood cells are further depleted, an anemic mother-to-be becomes pale, extremely weak, and easily tired or very breathless, beyond what's normal in pregnancy, and might even experience fainting spells. She may experience strange cravings for non-food items, like clay, or a compulsion to chew ice. There's also a possibility that RLS, or restless leg syndrome, may be linked to low iron stores. This may be one of the few instances where fetal nutritional needs are met before a mom's, since babies are rarely iron deficient at birth. Though the increased demand for blood production during pregnancy makes all moms-to-be susceptible to iron deficiency anemia, some are at particularly high risk. Those who've had back-to-back pregnancies, those who have been vomiting a lot or eating little because of morning sickness, and those who came to pregnancy undernourished, possibly because of an eating disorder, and or have been eating poorly since they conceived. Daily iron supplementation, as prescribed by your practitioner, should prevent or treat anemia.
Backache.
I'm having a lot of back pain. I'm afraid I won't be able to stand up at all by the 9th month.
The aches and discomforts of pregnancy aren't designed to make you miserable, though that's often the upshot. They're the side effects of the preparations your body is making for that momentous moment when your baby is born. Backache is no exception. During pregnancy, the usually stable joints of the pelvis begin to loosen up to allow easier, hopefully, passage for the baby at delivery. This, along with your oversized abdomen, throws your body off balance. To compensate, you tend to bring your shoulders back and arch your neck, standing with your belly thrust forward so that nobody who passes fails to notice you're pregnant, not just bloated, compounds the problem. The result, a deeply curved lower back, strained back muscles, and pain. Even pain with a purpose hurts. But without defeating the purpose, you can conquer, or at least subdue, the pain. The following should help. Sit smart. Sitting puts more stress on your spine than almost any other activity, so it pays to do it right. At home and at work, make sure the chairs you use most provide good support, preferably with firm cushioning and arms. A chair back that reclines slightly can also help take the pressure off. Use a footrest to elevate your feet slightly, and don't cross your legs, which can cause your pelvis to tilt forward, exacerbating those strained back muscles. Don't sit too long. Sitting for long periods can be as bad for your back as sitting the wrong way. Try not to sit for more than an hour without taking a walking and stretching break. Setting a half-hour limit would be even better. Try not to stand too long either. If you work on your feet, keep one foot on a low stool to take some pressure off your lower back. When you're standing on a hard surface, in the kitchen while you're cooking or washing dishes, for example, put on supportive shoes or use a small skid-proof cushion rug underfoot to ease the pressure. Be a slow lifter. Avoid lifting heavy loads, but if you must, do it slowly. First, stabilize yourself by assuming a wide stance. Next, bend at the knees, not at the waist. And finally, lift with your arms and legs, not your back. If you have to carry a heavy load when you're shopping, split it evenly between two shopping bags and carry one in each arm, rather than carrying it all in front of you. Try to keep weight gain within the recommended parameters. Excess pounds will only add to the load your back is struggling under. Wear the right shoes. Extremely high heels are a pain for your back, as are very unsupportive flat ones. Experts recommend a chunky 2-inch heel, a low wedge, or flats with good arch support to keep your body in proper alignment. You might also consider orthotics, orthopedic shoe inserts, designed for muscle support. As for those posture-improving shoes, some women find them helpful while others find they increase back pain. Wearing them may also exacerbate your off-balance factor. Sleep right. A comfortable sleeping position will help minimize aches and pains. When getting out of bed, swing your legs over the side of the bed to the floor rather than twisting to get up. Consider belly support. Think of it as support hose for your bump, designed to help take the burden of your belly's weight off your lower back and hips, helping relieve those aches and pains. Belly support garments come in stretchy bands and sleeves, as well as in belts, slings, braces, compression shorts, and cradles. Choose one that's comfortable for you and works best under the kinds of clothes you wear, since some are belly smoothing and others are a little lumpy. Whichever style you opt for, try not to wear your support band or belt 24/7. That's because with prolonged use of a belly support, your body will start to rely on it instead of your abdominal and back muscles to hold up your bump, resulting in further weakening of your core muscles and ultimately worsening back and hip pain. Take steps to strengthen your back and core muscles with pregnancy-safe exercises so your belly band isn't doing all the work all the time. No reaching for the stars or that salad bowl you stored on the top shelf. Minimize strain by using a low, stable step stool or a taller friend to retrieve items from high places. Alternate cold and heat to temporarily relieve sore back muscles. Use a towel-wrapped ice pack for 15 minutes, followed by a towel-wrapped heating pad for 15 minutes. Ask your practitioner before using heat patches, like Salon Paw or Thermacare, directly on your skin. Some recommend that you place such patches on your clothes instead of on your skin because they can get very hot and very irritating to pregnancy-sensitive skin. Definitely don't apply them to your belly. Ask, too, before slathering on Bengay, Icy Hot, or BioFreeze creams for your pain. Not all practitioners give the green light to these muscle soothers, especially in the last trimester. If yours does, go for it. But just watch for signs of irritation and don't use it on your bump. Arnica products like Tramiel should not be used during pregnancy. Take a warm bath or turn the shower head to pulsating if yours has that feature and enjoy the back massage. Rub your back the right way. Treat yourself to a therapeutic massage with a massage therapist who knows you're pregnant and is trained in prenatal massage. Learn to relax. Many back problems are aggravated by stress. If you think yours might be, try some relaxation exercises when pain strikes. Do simple exercises that strengthen your abs, such as the dromedary droop and the pelvic tilt, or sit on an exercise ball and rock back and forth, or lie back on it to ease back discomfort as well as hip pain. Join a pregnancy yoga or water aerobics class, or consider water therapy if you can find a medically and pregnancy savvy water therapist. If pain is significant, ask your practitioner about prescribing physical therapy or recommending alternative therapies like acupuncture, chiropractic, or biofeedback.
Carrying older children. Wondering if you need to put the mommy taxi service you've been running off duty until after delivery? Carrying moderately heavy loads, even some 35 or 40 pounds of preschooler, is safe throughout pregnancy, unless your practitioner has told you otherwise. What about your aching back? Save it some strain by learning to lift your tot properly. Pregnant with scoliosis. You're probably no stranger to back pain if you have scoliosis, but pregnancy can make those aches even more annoyingly familiar, especially if your condition involves your hips, pelvis, or shoulders. Weight-bearing difficulties may increase as your weight increases, too. A potential pain for you, but very happily, rarely anything that might seriously impact your pregnancy. You can ask your practitioner for the name of an obstetric physiotherapist who may be able to help you with some exercises specific to your scoliosis-related pain. Also discuss which CAM approaches might be helpful. Hydrotherapy and exercising in water, which is zero impact, may be especially beneficial. Wondering how scoliosis will affect your baby's birth? Chances are it won't. Most moms with scoliosis are able to have a vaginal delivery. Check with your practitioner. Thinking about an epidural? Talk to your practitioner about finding an anesthesiologist who has experience with moms with scoliosis. Though the condition usually does not interfere with the epidural, It may make it a little more difficult to place. An experienced anesthesiologist, however, should have no problem getting the needle where it needs to go. Also, talk to your practitioner if you have severe curvature, which may affect your breathing as pregnancy progresses and may require extra monitoring.
Abdominal aches, round ligament pain.
What are those aches and pains I've been getting on the lower sides of my abdomen?
What you're probably feeling is the pregnancy equivalent of growing pains, the stretching of muscles and ligaments supporting your enlarging uterus. Technically, it's known as round ligament pain, and most expectant moms experience it. But there's a wide variety of ways to experience it. The pain may be crampy, sharp, and stabbing, or achy, and it may be more noticeable when you're working out, or even when you're just walking, getting up from bed or from a chair, when you cough or sneeze. In fact, any kind of sudden movement can bring it on. It can be brief, or it may last for several hours. And it's completely normal. As long as it is occasional and there are no other symptoms accompanying it, such as fever, chills, bleeding, or lightheadedness, this kind of pain is absolutely nothing to be concerned about. Kicking up your feet, though not literally, and resting in a comfortable position should bring some relief. You can also wear a belly band belt or support system designed for pregnancy to ease the pain. Avoiding sudden movements can help prevent the pains in the first place, so get up from bed or a chair more slowly next time. Though you may find that no matter what you do, you'll get them occasionally. If the pain really bothers you when you're working out, it's probably best to decrease the intensity of your workouts. Run more slowly or walk instead, for instance. Of course, mention the pain, like all pains, to your practitioner at your next visit, so you can be reassured that this is just another normal, if annoying, part of pregnancy. Foot growth.
All my shoes are beginning to feel tight. Could my feet be growing too?
The belly isn't the only part of the pregnant body that's prone to expansion. If you're like many expectant moms, you'll discover that your feet are growing too. Good news if you're looking to revamp your entire shoe collection. Not so good if you've already sized out of your favorites and shopping for baby has left you cash crunched. What causes your feet to go through a growth spurt? While some expansion can be attributed to the normal fluid retention and swelling of pregnancy, or to new fat in your feet if your weight gain has been substantial or quick, there's another reason too. Relaxin, the pregnancy hormone that loosens the ligaments and joints around your pelvis so your baby can fit through the exit, doesn't discriminate between the ligaments you'd want loosened up, like those pelvic ones, and those you'd rather it just left alone, like those in your feet. The result, when those ligaments in the feet loosen, the bones under them tend to spread slightly, often resulting in an added half or even whole shoe size. Though the joints will tighten back up again after delivery, it's possible your feet will be permanently larger. In the meantime, try the tips for reducing excessive swelling if that seems to be your problem, and get a couple of pairs of shoes that fit you comfortably now and will meet your growing needs, so you won't end up barefoot and pregnant. When shoe shopping, put comfort before style, even if it's just this once. Look for shoes with heels that are no more than 2 inches high and have both non-skid soles and plenty of space for your feet to spread out. Shop for them at the end of the day when your feet are the most swollen. The shoes should be made from a material that will allow your swollen, sweaty dogs to breathe. Nothing synthetic. Are your feet and legs achy, especially at the end of the day? Shoes and orthotic inserts specifically designed to correct the distorted center of pregnancy gravity can not only make your feet more comfortable, but can reduce back and leg pain as well. Getting off your feet periodically during the day can obviously help with swelling and pain, as can elevating and periodically flexing your feet when you get the chance. You can also try slipping on elasticized slippers while you're at home. Wearing them for several hours a day might not make a great fashion statement, but it can make for happier feet, easing fatigue and achiness.
An itchy situation. Feeling flaky? You might, now that you're expecting. Normal pregnancy hormonal fluctuations can lead to an itchy, flaky scalp. Dandruff can be the result of a scalp that's either too dry or too oily. Yeast, a common fungus among expectant moms, can also scale up flaking. How to treat dandruff during pregnancy depends on what's behind it. Dry flakes, the kind that rain down onto your shoulders, can be eased by rubbing coconut or olive oil on your scalp before shampooing. Oily, scaly, or yeasty dandruff can be treated with a pregnancy-approved dandruff shampoo, like Head & Shoulders. Ask your practitioner before reaching for other dandruff shampoos, like T-Gel, since the stronger ones may not be pregnancy-safe. Ask, too, before using shampoos that contain tea tree oil, since not all practitioners give it the all-clear. Cutting down on sugar and refined grains and stepping up healthy fat sources like avocados and nuts may also help clear up your scalp and your shoulders.
Fast-growing hair and nails.
It seems to me that my hair and nails have never grown so fast before.
Though it may seem as if pregnancy hormones team up only to make you miserable during your 9 months, constipation, heartburn, and nausea come to mind, those same hormones are actually responsible for a substantial pregnancy perk. Nails that grow faster than you can manicure them, and hair that grows before you can secure appointments with your stylist. And if you're really lucky, hair that is thicker and more lustrous. Those pregnancy hormones trigger a surge in circulation and a boost in metabolism that nourish hair and nail cells, making them healthier than ever before. Of course, every perk has its price. That extra nourishment can unfortunately have less than happy hair effects too. It can cause hair to grow in places you would rather it didn't, and probably didn't even know it could, at least on a woman. Facial areas, lips, cheeks, and that chinny chin chin are most commonly plagued with this pregnancy-induced hairiness, but arms, legs, chest, back, and belly can feel the fur too. And though your nails might be long, they can also turn dry and brittle. Remember that these hair and nail changes are only temporary. Your good hair day run ends with delivery, when the normal daily hair loss that's suppressed during pregnancy, thus the thicker hair, resumes with a vengeance. And your nails will likely go back to their slower growth schedule postpartum too. Probably not such a bad thing. You'll want to keep your nails short anyway with a new baby around. Keep in mind, too, that while the hair on your head will almost certainly be thicker, not all women experience the scary part of this hairy situation during pregnancy, the part where you find hair in all the wrong places. Some mamas-to-be find that the hair on their legs, underarms, or even eyebrows grows especially slowly during pregnancy, giving them a welcome break from the razor or the wax. Count yourself lucky if you fall into this less furry camp.
The new skin you're in. If you haven't already noticed, pregnancy impacts just about every inch of your body, from head, that forgetfulness, to toes, those expanding feet. So it's not surprising that your skin is also showing the effects of pregnancy. Here are some changes you may expect from your expectant skin. Linea negra. Sporting a zipper down the center of your swelling belly? Just as those pregnancy hormones caused hyperpigmentation or darkening of the areolas, they are now responsible for the darkening of the linea alba, the white line you probably never noticed that runs between your belly button and your pubic area. During pregnancy, it's renamed the linea negra, or black line, and may be more noticeable in dark-skinned women than in those who are fair-skinned. It usually starts to appear during the second trimester, and most often will begin to fade a few months after delivery, though it may never go away entirely. Interested in a round of Guess the Sex of My Baby? According to an old wives' tale, not backed by science edition, if the linea negra runs only up to the belly button, you're having a girl. If it runs past the navel, up to the xiphoid process, near your ribs, it's a boy. Mask of pregnancy, chloasma. These brownish, bluish, grayish discolorations appear in a mask-like confetti pattern on around 50 to 75% of moms-to-be, particularly those with darker complexions, since they have more pigment in their skin to start with, as well as those who have a genetic predisposition to it. If your mom had it, there's a good chance you'll have it too. Not a fan of the blotchy look? Since exposure to sunlight can make melasma worse, be faithful about applying sunscreen with an SPF of at least 30 and avoid direct sun when possible. Fill up on folic acid, too, since a folate deficiency can be related to hyperpigmentation. Still blotchy? Some moms-to-be strike back at the mask of pregnancy with homemade masks made from lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, or even mashed banana. No luck with those? Never fear. Melasma usually fades within a few months after delivery. If it doesn't, a dermatologist can prescribe a bleaching cream or Retin-A, but not while you're breastfeeding, or recommend another treatment, such as a laser or a peel. Because those treatments are no-nos for now, bring on the concealer and foundation in the meantime. Other skin hyperpigmentation. Many women also find that freckles and moles become darker and more noticeable, and that darkening of the skin occurs in high-friction areas, such as between the thighs. All this hyperpigmentation should fade after delivery. Sun can intensify the discoloration, so use a sunscreen with an SPF of 30 or more, and avoid spending long hours in the sun, even with sunscreen on. Red palms and soles. It's your hormones at work again, plus an increase in blood flow, and they're causing red, itchy palms, and sometimes soles of the feet, in more than two-thirds of white women and one-third of women of color. There's no specific treatment, but some women find relief by soaking their hands and or feet in cold water or applying an ice bag for a few minutes a couple of times a day. Steer clear of anything that heats up your hands and feet, taking hot baths, washing dishes, wearing wool gloves. The dishpan look will disappear soon after delivery. Dark eye circles. Dark circles under your eyes are common, especially later in pregnancy. The culprit? You can blame hormonal changes and fluid retention for the morning after look. Bluish, blotchy legs. Because of stepped-up estrogen production, many expectant moms experience mottled discoloration on their legs and sometimes their arms when they're chilly. It comes and goes, is harmless, and will disappear postpartum. Skin tags. A skin tag, which is essentially a tiny piece of excess skin, is another harmless, if annoying, skin complaint common in pregnant women. Skin tags usually grow on areas of the body that are warmer and moister, or are frequently rubbed by other skin or by clothing, including the folds of your neck, your armpits, your torso, beneath your breasts, or on your genitals. The only good news, they're completely benign, and most will disappear after delivery. If your skin tags stick around, your doctor can remove them. Heat rash. Think babies when you think heat rash? Think women expecting babies, too. Caused by the combination of an already overheated pregnant body, dampness from all that extra perspiration, and the friction of skin rubbing against itself or against clothing, as it tends to do when there's more skin to rub, heat rash is both super common and super irritating. You can find it anywhere, but it's most likely to creep up in the crease between and beneath the breasts, in the crease where the bulge of the lower abdomen rubs against the top of the pubic area, and on the inner thighs. A cool, damp compress can take some of the heat out of your heat rash. Patting on some cornstarch-based powder after your shower, wearing loose, breathable clothes, and trying to keep as cool as possible will help minimize discomfort and recurrence. A dab of calamine lotion can also be soothing and is safe to use, but check with your practitioner before you apply any other medicated lotions. If a rash or irritation lasts longer than a couple of days, ask your practitioner about next steps. Tinea versicolor. Tinea is a fungal infection that causes small, oval, or round, flat, itchy, and flaky spots on the skin. The fungus causing the infection disrupts the normal pigmentation of the skin, resulting in discolored, scaly patches. It usually pops up on the oily parts of the body, like the chest and back, but can appear anywhere. Though it's not technically considered a pregnancy skin condition, it can appear for the first time during pregnancy or become exacerbated when you're expecting. Treatment usually includes antifungal shampoos like Head and Shoulders, yes, on your body, or antifungal creams, but be sure to ask your practitioner for a recommendation now that you've got a baby on board. irritated skin rashes. Often, rashes are triggered by pregnancy-sensitive skin, reacting to a product you've used pre-pregnancy without a reaction. Switching to a gentler product often relieves these contact rashes, but still do let your practitioner know about any persistent rash.
Vision.
My eyesight seems to be getting worse since I got pregnant, and my contact lenses don't seem to fit anymore. Am I imagining it?
Nope, you're not seeing things. That is, you really aren't seeing things as well as you used to now that you're expecting. The eyes are just another of the seemingly unrelated body parts that can fall prey to pregnancy hormones. Not only can your vision seem less sharp, but your contact lenses, if you wear them, may suddenly feel uncomfortable. Eye dryness, which is caused by a hormone-induced decrease in tear production, may be at least partially to blame for irritation and discomfort. Another cause is extra fluid. It's everywhere that can change the shape of eye lenses, actually making some pregnant women more near or farsighted. Your vision should clear up and your eyes return to normal after delivery, so don't bother to get a new prescription unless the change is so pronounced that you really can't see well anymore. In case you were thinking about it, now isn't the time to consider corrective laser eye surgery. Though the procedure wouldn't harm the baby, it could overcorrect your vision and take longer to heal, possibly requiring a second corrective surgery later on. Plus, the eye drops used aren't recommended for pregnant women. Ophthalmologists recommend avoiding the surgery during pregnancy, in the 6 months preconception, and for at least 6 months postpartum. And if you're nursing, 6 months post-weaning. Though a slight deterioration in vision is not unusual in pregnancy, other symptoms do warrant a call to your practitioner. If you experience blurring or dimming vision or often see spots or floaters or have double vision that persists for more than 2 or 3 hours, don't wait to see if it passes. Call your practitioner at once. Briefly seeing spots after you've been standing for a while or when you get up suddenly from a sitting position is fairly common and nothing to worry about, though you should report it at your next visit. Fetal movement patterns.
I felt little movements every day last week, but I haven't felt anything at all today. What's wrong?
Feeling your baby twist, wriggle, punch, kick, and hiccup is simply one of pregnancy's biggest thrills. It sure beats heartburn and puffy feet. There may be no better proof that a brand new and impressively energetic life is developing within you. But fetal movements can also drive a mom-to-be to distraction with questions and doubts. Is my baby moving enough? Too much? Moving at all? 1 minute you're sure those were kicks you were feeling, the next you're second-guessing yourself.